This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Case studies of effective workplace mediation. Real scenarios that show what skilled mediation looks like in practice. In short, workplace mediation skills are not about keeping the peace. They are about creating the conditions where two people in conflict can finally hear each other. When applied with care and precision, mediation transforms a stuck, damaging dispute into a workable resolution. Without winners, and without casualties, the mediator's job is to hold the space, not to solve the problem. Mediation fails most often when the process is rushed or when one party feels unheard. Effective mediation produces agreements that both parties own, which is why those agreements last. Definition: workplace mediation skills are the structured abilities and neutral third party uses to help people in conflict move from entrenched positions toward a mutually workable resolution. These skills include active listening, neutral reframing, managing emotional intensity, and guiding both parties to focus on shared interests rather than individual grievances. What to watch for before you read these scenarios? Before you read these examples, I want to give you a frame. Mediation is not therapy, and it is not a performance review. It is a structured process with a clear purpose to help two people who have stopped hearing each other start again. When you read these scenarios, watch for three things. First, notice when the mediator redirects a conversation from blame to need. Second, notice when the emotional temperature in the room changes and what caused that shift. Third, notice what happens when mediation is absent or handled poorly. Good mediation is often invisible. When it works, it looks like two adults simply sorting things out. The skill is in what the mediator did to make that possible. Five scenarios that show workplace mediation skills in action. Example 1. Two colleagues who had written each other off. A customer service team of eight had, over 6 months, quietly split in two. The cause was a disagreement between a senior coordinator and a newer team member about how complaints should be logged. What started as a procedural difference had become personal. They no longer spoke directly. Instructions passed through a third colleague. The team manager noticed productivity dropping and morale turning fragile. A mediator, brought in from another department with no stake in the outcome, met with each person separately first. She did not ask them what the other person had done wrong. She asked each of them what a good working day looked like and what was getting in the way. Both described the same frictions, but from entirely different angles. In the joint session, she opened by asking each person to describe the impact of the situation on their work, not the cause of it. She reframed every accusation as a concern. He ignores my process became you need consistency in how cases are recorded. Within 40 minutes, both people were solving a shared problem rather than prosecuting each other. What this reveals, the separate pre-session is not a courtesy. It is where the mediator learns what is actually at stake before both parties are in the same room. Skipping it is one of the most common mistakes. Example 2. A manager who made things worse. A mid-level manager in a logistics company decided to resolve a dispute between two warehouse supervisors himself. He sat them down together, let the more dominant of the two speak at length, and then offered his own judgment on who had handled a scheduling conflict correctly. The quieter supervisor said very little. The session ended in under 20 minutes. The manager considered the matter closed. Within a week, the quieter supervisor had lodged a formal grievance. In her written complaint, she described the meeting as a public dressing down. The dominant supervisor, emboldened, continued the behaviour that had caused the original tension. What had been a manageable interpersonal conflict became a formal HR process that lasted 2 months and cost the company a capable employee. This is what the absence of genuine mediation skills produces. A position of authority is not the same as the ability to mediate. The manager had resolved nothing. He had simply silenced one party and validated the other. Mediation requires impartiality, and impartiality requires that the person in the chair has no stake in the outcome. If you want to understand how unresolved tension compounds over time, how to rebuild trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship maps the repair process in practical terms. Example 3. A team that stopped talking. A six-person product team had a standing rule, unspoken, but universally observed no one challenged the lead developer's technical decisions in meetings. Two new members had tried once, early on, and the pushback had been sharp enough that everyone took note. The result was a team that looked functional in status meetings, but was, in reality, making poor decisions because only one person's perspective was ever heard. A facilitator was brought in after a product launch failed to meet its targets. She did not position herself as a mediator at first. She ran a structured team review where everyone, individually and anonymously, submitted what they believed had gone wrong. When she read the results back to the group, the pattern was impossible to ignore. Several people had identified the same issue, but had never said it aloud. She then used a technique familiar in conflict mediation. She named the pattern without naming a person responsible for it. It seems the team has found it easier not to challenge decisions in the room. I'm curious what would need to be different for that to change. The lead developer, to his credit, sat with that question for a full 10 seconds before responding. What this reveals, mediation skills apply even when there is no formal dispute on record. Suppressed conflict is still conflict. The cost is paid slowly, in missed ideas and eroded trust, rather than in a single dramatic event. For teams navigating this kind of slow-burn tension, how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fractured, team synergy offers a clear method for bringing it into the open before it does lasting damage. Example 4. When the agreement did not hold. Two account managers in a sales firm had reached what seemed like a clear resolution through mediation. Their dispute was over client territory, and after a single 90-minute session, they had agreed on a written division of accounts. The mediator had done the basics while both parties had spoken, both had signed the document, and both had left the room appearing satisfied. 3 weeks later, the tension had returned. One manager believed the agreement was being interpreted too loosely by the other. The other felt the agreement was being used to block legitimate opportunities. The problem was not the mediation itself. It was that the agreement had been written in general terms, and general terms leave room for competing interpretations. A second, shorter session was needed. This time, the mediator added specificity to every clause. She asked each manager to read a particular line aloud, and then say what it would mean in practice if a specific client situation arose. Where their interpretations differed, she helped them agree on language that left no gap. What this reveals, a mediation agreement is only as durable as its clarity. Vague language feels safe in the room because it asks neither party to fully commit. It fails in the real world precisely because of that same quality. Precision is an act of respect for both parties. Example 5. Rebuilding a working relationship after a public argument. Two senior members of a non-profit organization had a heated disagreement during a board meeting. The argument was visible to the full room and touched on a funding decision that had strong personal significance for both of them. Neither had planned to argue. Neither had said anything that could be called unprofessional in isolation. But the cumulative effect, the raised voices, the interruptions, the public nature of it, left a chill between them that affected every subsequent meeting. An external mediator met with both separately. She noticed something quickly. Neither person was angry at the other. Both were embarrassed. Both had replayed the moment and wished it had gone differently. The conflict, at its core, was not about the funding decision. It was about pride and the fear of having been seen to lose composure. She brought them together not to relitigate the funding question, but to address what was actually present: two people who respected each other and had not found a way back from an awkward moment. She asked each of them what they wanted the other person to know. Within 30 minutes, the conversation had shifted from careful, guarded exchanges to something close to candor. This is the kind of mediation that never appears in process documentation because it does not fit a neat conflict category. But it is some of the most important work a mediator does. Not every dispute is about competing interests. Some are about the repair of a relationship that both parties already value. How to resolve interpersonal tension through empathy explores the emotional intelligence required for exactly this kind of mediation. The patterns that connect these scenarios. Taken together, these 5 cases point to something consistent. Effective workplace mediation skills always prioritize hearing before solving. In every example where mediation worked, both parties felt genuinely heard before any resolution was proposed. In the case where it failed, one party was effectively silenced. There is also a pattern around time. Mediators who allow silence, who wait through discomfort rather than filling it with suggestions, consistently achieve more durable outcomes. The pressure to resolve quickly is one of the most destructive forces in any mediation room. Finally, every working example involved a mediator who brought no stake in the outcome. The manager in example 2 failed not because he lacked intelligence or authority, but because his position made impartiality structurally impossible. For a broader look at how organizations have built these principles into team-level programs, case studies, how organizations successfully implement attention management programs to reduce team conflict is worth your time. What these cases mean for your own practice. Here is the truth of it. Most people who need to mediate a workplace dispute have never been trained to do it. They step in with good intentions and a belief that fairness and common sense will be enough. Sometimes they are, often they are not. What the cases above ask you to do is honest self-assessment. If you are the person who gets called in when two colleagues are not speaking, ask yourself, can I hold this conversation without signaling, even subtly, who I think is right? If you are a manager who has been handling these situations with authority rather than with process, consider whether the outcomes you have achieved have lasted. The skill of mediation is learnable. It is not a personality trait or a gift. It is a set of tools applied in a specific sequence with the courage to stay neutral even when neutrality is uncomfortable. Strategies for diffusing heated conversations gives you the practical toolkit for managing the emotional temperature in any difficult exchange, which is foundational to every mediation scenario above. If you work with a team that argues in meetings, how to handle conflict during meetings addresses that specific context directly. And if you want a reliable framework for approaching tension before it requires formal mediation, how to use the DEAL method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates gives you a clear practice method to apply. The cases in this article are not unusual. Versions of them are playing out in workplaces right now. The difference between a dispute that costs an organization a good employee and one that produces a stronger working relationship often comes down to whether someone in the room had the presence, the patience, and the workplace mediation skills to hold the process steady. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Frequently asked questions. What are workplace mediation skills? Workplace mediation skills are the practical abilities a mediator uses to help two or more people in conflict reach a workable resolution. They include active listening, neutral reframing, managing emotional temperature, and keeping both parties focused on interests rather than positions. How do you know when workplace mediation skills are working? You know mediation is working when both parties shift from defending positions to explaining needs. The tone becomes less combative, each person begins to acknowledge the other, and the conversation moves toward what a resolution could look like rather than who is wrong. What makes workplace mediation skills fail? Mediation fails most often when the mediator takes sides, allows one person to dominate the session, or tries to resolve the conflict before both parties feel heard. Rushing past the emotional layer of a dispute almost always produces a fragile agreement that breaks down quickly. Can a manager use workplace mediation skills without formal training? A manager can apply the core principles of mediation without formal certification, separate the people from the problem, listen before proposing solutions, and keep the conversation focused on future behavior rather than past blame. Formal training sharpens these instincts, but is not a prerequisite for getting started. How long does workplace mediation typically take? Most workplace mediation sessions run between 90 minutes and half a day, depending on the complexity of the dispute. Simple interpersonal tensions can resolve in a single session. Deeper structural conflicts, especially those involving trust that has eroded over months, may require two or three conversations before a durable agreement forms. What is the difference between mediation and arbitration at work? Mediation is a voluntary, collaborative process where a neutral third party helps both sides reach their own agreement. Arbitration is a more formal process where a third party hears both sides and makes a binding decision. Mediation preserves the working relationship, arbitration resolves the dispute, but often at the cost of it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.